Stand with me tonight to Paul's letter to Titus and chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And I read verse 1. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. So we come again to this wonderful letter. It is a short letter. It deals with the church order, but it deals also with conduct, practical theology. This is really what this letter is all about. How do we behave because of what we believe? The way we behave shows also what we believe. So in this section, in chapter 2, Paul is giving us rich and the large spectrum of life in terms of age, in terms of genders, in terms of unity, in terms of behavior, but in terms also of diversity in the local church. So all these elements and threats appear in the letter. So I start with a question: how do we adorn? How do we show sound doctrine in our lives? How do we adorn the gospel of redeeming grace? So these are really questions that this chapter will also answer. And as you read the chapter, you will see there is no gender confusion. It is very clear for God. There are men and women. There are old men, old women, young men, young women. There are workers. There are servants. So diversity in unity in the local church. But though the principles we are going to speak about are related to the aged, we have to say, and I will do my best to show you that, the principles are applicable to all the church, each one of us. So, if I may say, it's a bit an unusual Bible study just to focus on a particular age in the church, but you will see it is applicable to all of us, young, old, men, women, every one of us. So let's start by looking at verse 1. And you will see that Paul begins this chapter by speaking first of all to Titus. Because remember, Titus is the prototype. Titus is the pattern. So the pastor, the elder, or the elders are to be a pattern to the believers in the local church. And that's the harmony, really. You find that unity in harmony because the head is well, the body also will be well. When one member of your body, even our physical body, is not well, the whole body feels it. So in the same way, when all the members of the local church are healthy, the church is healthy. When one member, do you know, and we have to realize that before even I come to explain more, when one of us is living a disorderly life, a life that is unpleasing to the Lord, do you know it affects the whole church? And it has happened in so many churches where one person in the church, I could give even the example of in the Old Testament when the people of God had to enter in the city of Ai, they couldn't overtake the city because there was someone, Achan, he misbehaved. And he did things that God forbade them to do. So don't think your sin or my sin is just personal. It affects and it infects the whole church. And it deprives the church from its instrumentality. Don't let any disorder or any misbehavior or misconduct to deprive the local church from the blessings the Lord has wants to bestow upon the church. So we come and we see Titus is the pattern. And Paul speaks to him in verse 1, but speak thou the things. And you can see, I'm sure, again, the sharp contrast. There is a difference between what Titus is going to teach, and you remembered our previous Bible study from chapter 1, verse 16, the poisonous, the polluted, and deadly poison of false teachers. And the words there are really, as I said, harsh and so extreme, abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate, in verse 16 of chapter 1. But now you can see Titus is different. He's completely different. This man is not the poisonous false teaching, but sound doctrine. And as I kept repeating to you, the word sound means healthy. The word sound means correct. The word sound means righteous. The word sound means pure. The word sound means solid, well-rooted. That's really the meaning of the word sound. And the word doctrine, again, is the word teaching. That's the meaning. Teaching of what? Teaching the whole counsel of God. That's why, as preachers, we don't just pick and choose what we want. Oh, these are our favorite verses, and we know we can easily speak on them, and they will flatter people, they will bring comfort to people. Sometimes we have to say things that are hard, not because we want to be hard, but because this is the word of God. And that is why expository teaching and preaching is so relevant, because then the preacher has just to come to the text and explain to you what is in the text without inventing anything. We do not invent anything. We do not improve the word of God. We do not add to it. We have just to explain it and bring applications to what it says, because God has already inspired it. So Titus, you see the word there, but speak. Speak. It's really, that's the Greek word there is really the word like chat. Speak about it, proclaim it, teach it, exhort the believers. All these words could really explain the word speak there. Don't hide it, don't be shy, don't shy away from it. And sometimes we have to repeat to you the things you already know. And many times it humbles me. After a Bible study or a sermon, a believer comes to me and he says, thank you for the reminder. It's just a reminder. And most of what we are telling you, we do. That's why I said we do not innovate. We are just reminding you our duties, our obligations. So a pastor, a preacher is what? He is a teacher, he is an instructor, but he is also somebody who exhorts. He is an exhorter. And sometimes he has to rebuke. Why? Look at the book ends of this chapter, please. Just for your for your mind, look at the how verse 1 starts and the last verse of the chapter. You will see how he is repeating the same things in one way. And in verse 1, Paul says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Look, verse 9. He will say, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. And verse 15, three commands there. Three injunctions, imperatives. Not something optionally. They are commands which are to be obeyed by every preacher. And in verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. Let no man look you down when you speak on these things, because they are biblical. And you are only passing the message with its applications to help believers to remember their obligations and their duties. So this is so helpful to us. And the things Paul is going to speak about in this chapter are really areas in our lives where, please, my dear brothers and sisters, these are areas where you and me, we need to be watchful. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if you are a man or a woman, a child or an old person. These are areas Paul is going to say we need to be watchful. I didn't give you my title from the beginning, not to put you off because you will say, oh, this is not about me. So my title is very simple. And it comes from verse 2. And Paul says there, that the aged men, so, and in verse 3, the aged women. So, aged godly men and women. That's my title. But I'm not pleased with the title. I'm inclined to change it. Be prepared to be old. If that's better, you choose. So be prepared to age well also. But we are speaking about believers, and this is wonderful. You are a saved old man, you are a saved senior, you are a saved aged person, you are a saved young person. All what we are going to say tonight is really, God loves us so much that he even planned and helped us to know how to become old. I know we live in a society now where nobody likes to be seen as old. Even the old senior, you say to him, you are aged. No, don't say. Women, oh, don't. The other day we were in a place where at least three or four women, they were telling us their age, and somebody said, they said it all. Why? Because nobody wants to get old nowadays. But you see, Bible says in Proverbs, old age is a crown of glory. We have so much. Oh, I wish we can come near all our seniors all the time to sit at their feet and to learn from them, to learn from their experience, to learn from their piety and godliness, to learn from their afflictions and persecutions. So this is what really Paul is going to speak about. And I will limit myself to the three first verses because as time goes, you will see this chapter can be easily divided. Very easy. Verse 1 to 3, Paul is speaking about aged men and women. Verse 4 to 8, he's going to speak about young women and young men. So we will come to that in a future study. Then from verse 9 to 10, he will speak to servants, those who are employees, hard workers in the church, but also outside the church in the secular world. Then from verse 11 to verse 14, he is going to define grace. Because of grace, because of sound teaching, sound doctrine, here are the virtues which should be adorned by every believer. So you can see this is so orderly and so helpful when you look at it. So Paul says to Titus, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. So after dealing with the church as a whole in chapter 1, now Paul comes to individuals in the church, the aged, the young, the workers. But please, there are six groups. He's given to us six groups there. But every group is really related to us. You will see the virtues, the behavior, the demeanor. These are things that are applicable to your life and to my life. Even right now. So God is preparing us as we decay, the body decays. So how should we handle the matter? Should we lash out? Or we should be firm, we should be patient, we should be cool people, if that's the word. How should we behave? So Paul speaks first of all to the aged men. So I will take the men first, the aged men in verse 2. But before I explain the virtues, his the character traits he's calling aged men to be, may I make some applications even before I mention those things. The first thing is that sin makes no respect of age. That's a reality. Sin makes no respect of gender. It makes no respect of color. It makes no respect of persons. Which means the seniors, the older men, the older women are to conduct themselves and act according to their age. They are to motivate the young ones. And they have to adorn these virtues as an example to the younger generation. My dear brothers and sisters, in the Church of Jesus Christ, there shouldn't be generational conflict. There should be complementarity. We need the seniors, the aged. The young men need the aged. The aged need the young men and young women. That's really what the Word of God teaches us. We need one another. Every member of the body is important and functions together. So the older ones, the aged, are to function as fathers, spiritual fathers, which means young and old, we have to be soul winners. Soul winners. They are to be fathers to souls, but they have to be fatherly or motherly to believers. Again, you can see the harmony in the local church. Fathers, in 1 John, John speaks about fathers. He speaks about little children and so on. This is about still in relation to the age. But you can be a spiritual father also to someone by being instrumental in his conversion. But once the person is converted, you are a fatherly person to him. So first application we already made is that sin has no respect for age. Second, you are to be fatherly and a father. But third, age doesn't mean spiritual maturity. It's not because somebody has 30, 40, 50 years in the Lord, walking with the Lord, that it means he is mature. But the opposite is also true. It's not because somebody is young, it means he is not mature. So age is not a guarantee for maturity. But youth also is not a defect of immaturity. You may meet somebody, and I hope nobody is in that case in the church here, you may meet somebody 20 years, 30 years being a Christian, you ask him, do you know the doctrines of faith? Do you know the doctrines of grace? Do you know what is election? Do you know what is repentance? Do you know what is regeneration? Oh, what's that? Do you know what the Bible says about witnessing to non-believers? Do you know what the Bible says about marriage? So I'm pointing at these things just to say we can be for many years in the faith, but we are spiritual dwarfs. And that is a big danger. But enough maybe with the negative. I hope it's not negative. But you can be young and be a spiritual giant. I believe so. You yield your life to the Lord. You walk with the Lord. You read your Bible daily. You pray daily. You witness daily. You seek for fellowship daily. You are where the people of God are daily. You strive for discipline. You strive for holiness. You strive for obedience. Bible says you will grow spiritually. It doesn't matter how old you are. Now, we come to the aged man, and Paul is going to give us four things. And I will make them very simple, and later I will do the balance, the equilibrium with women, and he will give also four things in relation to the aged women. But please, don't misunderstand me. Everything said about the old man and the old women is said exactly to the young men and to the young women. The first thing, let's look at it together. So first thing, Paul says that the aged man be sober. This is the favorite word of Paul. Sober, to be sober. So the meaning there is very simple. To be sober means to be self-controlled, not self-absorbed. You know, as age comes and goes, people self-exalt themselves. I often say young people are always thinking about the future. The older ones are always taking us to the past. How the past was so nice, so wonderful. Oh, everything was so beautiful. They don't mention the gloomy part, but everything was not nice in the past also. Bible speak about evil days. So there are no such thing really as wonderful past days. It's all evil. So sober means to be venerable, to be dignified, balanced, respected, respectable, and respectful. And I can tell you I have met aged men who do not deserve any respect because of the way they behave in churches. But the godly man, the godly aged man, is to be sober, respected, respectable, and respectful. Not grumpy, not stubborn, not insensitive or irritable, easily irritated. As you know, age is never a license. Be sober, not somber. Sobriety is not soberness. That's some people, they confuse that because I have a hard face and I don't smile at all. It means I'm so spiritual. But that's not the meaning. Don't be gloomy. Young and old, we have given life and joy by the Lord Jesus Christ. And just to show you that this is not only to the aged men, it is for all of us. Please turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. And this is the only verse I promise to show you that it is applicable to all of us. All of us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. And Paul says there, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. You see, to the whole church, all believers. So the sobriety is not just to the old man. And you will see later, he will say the same to aged women. He will say the same to young men. He will say the same to the young women. So the same. We are all on this, under the same rule, under the same command from the Word of God. So that's the first thing. The aged men are to be sober. Can I give you an example of somebody who lashed out in his old age? Isaac. Isaac, he didn't exercise sobriety. He wanted a meal. You know, you remember how he wanted his sons, Esau and Isaac, and that we know the problem that brought after. But he lacked sobriety. But we have Simon, in the old Simon, the aged Simon in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 2. This is a good example of a sober believer. In his old age, he was sound in mind. He was sound in the heart. And he saw the baby, the child, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember the great testimony he gave about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he even said, now, Lord, you can take me. I have seen the Lord. What has been promised for so long, now I see it with my own eyes. But the second thing about the aged man is not only to be sober, but to be grave. To be grave. And the word here means to be dignified. Dignified. Not to be silly or flabby, that's the meaning also. And it means to be serious. But grave doesn't mean uncheerful. Grave doesn't mean the person doesn't have a sense of humor. but know where to place your humor. That's the wisdom, That's really wisdom. Some people, they lash out their humor everywhere and anywhere without any second thought. But a grave, aged man is somebody who is grave. He is serious, not trivial. He doesn't tell jokes with vulgar language. And by his behavior, he wins people's esteem. The third one, temperate. That's another word Paul favors so much. It means to have a right mind. And if I may read for you, Proverbs 25, verse 28. And it is said that there, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. A man or a woman who is not temperate, who doesn't have right mind, is like a city without walls. In the past, cities, walls protect a city. So if you are not right in your mind, it means an avalanche. Everything has access to your mind. That's why we have to protect our mind. My dear brothers and sisters, that's why, if I may speak to the younger ones, what you put in your ears, when you have that music in your ears, it goes to the mind. Don't think just it titillates your flesh. It goes to your mind. And what fills your mind goes to your heart, because the mind is the palace of faith, while the heart is the seat of emotions. And what comes when your mind is informed with evil things, they inform your heart, and you act upon what your heart is telling you. So that's why what we read, what we watch, what we listen to is so important. So be sober. Be grave, be sound in mind, temperate. It means when we age, it's easy for us to get irritated and to complain, and that shouldn't be the case. An old person should be rational and reasonable. He has to be safe, he has to be stable, he has to be calm, and he has to be collected. That's very important on every one of us, for every one of us. And the fourth one, given here, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate. He put the triad, faith, love. He has patience here, but please, you can even read patience with hope, by hope. So the triad, which is so necessary for the believer. Sound, healthy, in the faith. Actually, in the Greek, there is the definite article in the passage here, verse 2. Be sober, grave, temperate, sound in the faith. Which means sound in the whole teaching of the Word of God. Sound in what God has passed on to his prophets in the Old Testament, through the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, and through the apostles also in the New Testament. So, sound in the faith, healthy in love. So you can see, love is not just a feeling. Some people say, love at first sight. You better wear better glasses then. It doesn't work that way. So, love is not an emotion. Love is a duty. Love is a choice. Love is a command. And you have to work at it. You work at it. You protect love. Husbands and wives and so on. Protect. Young men courting. Protect it. It doesn't just come down from thin air. You like a candle, you have to protect it and rekindle it when it's growing cold. So they have to be sound in the faith, but also in love and patience. And I'm sure you know, when we become older and older, we become impatient. We want things to be done. Our whole world now is impatient. Microwave Christianity. Quickly. Have it quickly. Instantaneously. That's all. God, give it to me and right now. But you cannot command God. He's sovereign. He has his time. He promised to answer our prayers, but he will do it in his time, not according to our whims. And remember, God gives us what we need, not what we want. Please thank God that he doesn't answer all your prayers. Otherwise, you will be in trouble for a long time ago. So to be sober, to be grave, to be temperate, in right in the mind, sound in the faith, sound in love, and sound in patience. Excel in faith, excel in love, excel in hope. Faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, love for God, and patience in living. Cope well with life when you get old. I'm speaking to you because today I was at the care home. So I interacted with the seniors, and it is a humbling experience. Some of them do not cope well with life. But do you know what? You will see even there the difference between believers and non-believers, the way they cope with life. Please allow me this digression. You go to the care homes, you will see the people who stare like this were people who spent their life watching TV. But others who listen and sing the hymns, read the word of God, were people who were reading. That's the big difference. So prepare yourself. Instead of staring to emptiness, you stare at the word of God. You stare at the hymns. You want to listen not to what is said on the TV, bombarding you day after day. It's all the time in some care homes. All the time it's on. Non-stop. It was a digression. So come back to our text. Titus chapter 2. That the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, love, and in patience. So don't lose your capacity to be moved about the things of God. We cannot begin too soon to aim at a life like the life described to us here. So now I come to the age women. Four things also said about them there. In verse 3, the aged women likewise. You see, all the things the aged men are to do, in the same manner, the aged women are to be sober, they are to be grave, they are to be temperate, they are to be sound in faith, in love, and in patience. So all is applicable to them also. But Paul adds something more unto them, which is applicable to all of us again. So we come to that, and I'm sure you will see the difference. Now, Paul says, likewise, the aged women. There is a contrast. He's drawing also a contrast between Christian aged women and the worldly aged women. That is, the worldly aged women are walking according to the spirit of the world, but the aged believing women are walking according to the Spirit of God. An abyssal difference between the two. So, what is expected from them? They are to be reverential in their life. They flourish in age, but also in character. And the first thing Paul speaks about in that verse, to the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Sober and sound. You can replace the word there. You can put the words there. They must be sober and they must be sound. They are to have a priestly life, a devoted life, a worshiping life, like Anne again in Luke chapter 2. She was day and night serving the Lord in the temple. So that's a good example of a godly woman who, even in her late age, she was still sound. She was still living a holy life after she has experienced 7 years of marriage. Her husband died, and after that, she gave herself to serving the Lord. So there is no spiritual retirement for believers. You may retire from your secular job, but God has a retirement program for you and me, to serve him. So, and their demeanor must be dignified. Aged women demeanor must be dignified as becometh holiness, as it fit holiness. There must be holiness in their life. She is to be pure and free from volatility. Younger women are watching you as you are watching over them. Be an example to them. Now, there are two negatives after that first one, a holy behavior before God. Now, there are two negatives. And the first negative, it says, not false accusers. And the word accuser there, or accusers, is the word diabolos, diabolical. That's really, who wants to be associated with the devil? So, aged women are not to be false accusers, gossipers. This is all of us. And I'm sure you don't need me to tell you, this is the trend of the world. That's how the world functions. Unfortunately, gossip can destroy a church also. So, not to be false accusers, a fault finder. But this is not just women, men also. All of us, we can find ourselves to be slanderers. A slanderer befriends the devil. You know where the devil is? Where gossip is. That's his home. But as believers, we should speak to edify, not to slander. We should speak, Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love and with love. Always with wholesome words, not to harm. It is not because you know something that you have to spread it. And sometimes please check before you spread anything. I will give you soon a test, just a test. Before you speak about anything, you have to put a test. And you will save yourself from many, many pains and troubles. So, gossip is never passive. Why? Because the person who is listening likes to hear more. Tell me more. Is it so? We ask questions to know more. Why? Behind gossip, there is a form of hatred. There is a form of harm. There is a form of jealousy. Let no one be a gossiper in the Church of Jesus Christ. And talking can increase with age. We know that. So we have to be very careful not to be too verbal. That's a besetting sin in all of us, to be talkative. Replace slander by wholesome, truthful, and honest words. So please, can I give you the test? Before you pass on any information, here is the test. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it honest? Is it edifying? You can apply Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 there. Is it pure? So that's really the test. And you can also add, is it kind? Or am I trying just to slander, backbeat the other person? Now, the third thing, the negative one, not given to much wine. She shouldn't be slave to wine. She shouldn't drink from the world. Leave even the drink, the liquid. But she shouldn't drink anything, be enslaving of anything from the world, borrowing anything, self-admiration, self-congratulation, performance. That's to all of us also, not just to the aged women, but all of us. And as you know, with wine comes gossip. Somebody who is given to wine is capable of any sin you can think about. Here is a person, calm person, pious person, godly person. You want him to kill somebody, make him to drink. You want him to commit adultery, make him to drink. You want him to gossip, make him to drink. You want him to tell you secrets, make him to drink. So, aged women are not to be slave to any dissolution, to any wine, to any liquid, to anything from the world, to any substance, and she has to be sound of mind. That's why Origen, this is a church father, he said something really very important. He said, drunkenness is the mother of all vices. All vices. But sobriety is the mother of virtues. Now the last one, teachers of good things. Actually the Greek says, it's one word in the Greek, teachers of beautiful things. So instead of being gossipers, false accusers, or given to wine, they're positive now. They are to be teachers of good things. But Paul is very precise. He said unto the aged women, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober. We will come to that in another Bible study, because there are at least 7 threats given to the young women in that passage. But so far, as I close, the aged women are to help the young women as an example. They have to teach them by example, by their words, not to hold a class, a Titus II class, because that's a fashion now, but it is by their words and by their conduct. Come in, nothing formal, because women are not, it is Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. He is the one who should be teaching these things to the whole church. So nobody, age woman should set a class for herself where she is telling young ladies what to do about their homes. But this is by informal example of words teaching from the Word of God and experience. So these things are so helpful, I'm sure. Assist the younger women in what concerns their homes. Teach them by words and conduct. Marriages are under attack nowadays. So aged women are to help the younger ones. Teach them not to compare themselves. We are very comparative. You see that home, you see this home. But teach the younger ones not to compare, to be themselves. I could have brought to you 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 6, but when we study young women, we have to bring those verses, because the beauty is the internal beauty. Young man, you are looking for a wife? Do not look at the external. Look at the character. Look at the internal beauty. Young woman, you are looking for a husband? Don't look for his handsomeness, if that's an English word. Don't look for his handsomeness. Don't look for his galanteria manners. Don't look for his, is he godly? What is he talking about all the time? Otherwise, it is a snare. It is a snare. Don't fall into that. So, as I close, age is against all of us. But the Lord is for us. Do you see the contrast? The age is against you and me, but God is on our side. So, young or old, we can examine ourselves with these things. Sound doctrine is for all. The older generation is to communicate grace to the younger one. And it is also for the younger ones to interact with the older ones. So, aged men, be sound. Believers, all believers, to be sound, to be grave, to be temperate, and to be sound in faith, in love, and in patience. What about aged women? They are to be holy, to live a holy life. They are to live a priestly life dedicated to the Lord. They are not to be false accusers. They are not to be given to any substance. They are not to be given to the spirit of the world. But they have to teach also good things, beautiful things, by example and by experience. So this is how aged, godly men and women are to adorn sound doctrine. May the Lord bless us. Let's close our time together by singing our last hymn, hymn number 467. Hymn number 467.